Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, help your employees plan for their retirement with the Zurich Master Trust. Talk to Zurich or a financial broker today.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Some of your texts on the issues with driving and how Irish drivers behave in wet weather. One person, Janet, has texted to say, chronic tailgating at high speeds in wet conditions. Most don't slow down. We need a major RSA campaign on this, says Janet. And Anthony in Cork reckons a lot of Irish drivers don't know how to drive, period. Well, we're going to be discussing that in a short while. But right now, my next guest is the Secretary General of Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, who has recently returned from a trip to Gaza 6 months on from when the war began. Christopher Lockyer is calling for the attacks on civilians, medical staff and health facilities to stop and for unhindered humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. And you're very welcome to the programme this evening, Christopher. I know you visited MSF teams in Gaza in late March, so you really are just back very recently. What was the situation on the ground like then?
Well, I spent most of my time in Gaza in both Rafah in the south and the middle area. In Rafah, it's really in Rafah we have 1.5 million people packed into the tiny southern part of Gaza. They've been forced to flee south, and there are really people everywhere. The roads are lined with tents and makeshift shelters. There are kids walking everywhere in the streets. And a car journey that used to take 10 minutes across Rafah would now take an hour because of the density of people. And Rafah is an area which is under threat of ground invasion. And when you mix that with the scenes that I've seen further north, the only possible outcome of a ground invasion in Rafah, as far as I could tell, would be utterly catastrophic, because visiting hospitals further north in the Al-Aqsa Hospital, where the hospital I reached at about 8:30 in the morning one day, and as I reached to the hospital in the hospital grounds, there's a morgue, and the morgue was overflowing with dead bodies. There were bodies coming out of the morgue. There were too many for me to count. And inside that hospital, the corridors were lined with wounded people on either side. You have to be very careful as to how you walk, so you don't tread on anybody, and they're waiting for their wounds to be dressed. They're waiting to go into surgery, and at the same time, in that hospital, there's such pressure on this what was a 200 bed hospital now with 600 patients. There's such pressure that they're having to choose between giving beds to trauma patients who need their wounds treating choosing between giving beds to them or children who need treatment for malnutrition. It's a really impossible decision that medics are having to make.
I wonder, can I get your reaction to what happened to the aid workers from World Central Kitchen, and indeed Israel's reaction to that? They're saying today that they admit that they made grave mistakes, and I think two of the people involved have been fired or let go from the IDF.
Mm. Well, firstly, I mean, I want to express my condolences to the families and friends of the colleagues from the World Central Kitchen who were killed in this horrendous attack. But this is not the first attack. It doesn't make it any better, any worse. This is a pattern of incidents that have been happening for months now. And we have been saying that the coordination is not good enough. We ourselves have had five people killed. There are now up to 200 humanitarian workers who have lost their lives since October the 7th. And this issue is more than an issue of coordination with the Israeli military. It's an issue of political impunity. It's a political choice to have allowed this pattern of attacks to continue over all of these 6 months. We've been saying it for months. It is good now that this issue is getting some attention. It is really sad that it takes this many Western aid workers to die to be able to for the issue to get this much prominence. And it's a really awful incident that happened the other night, and it's part of a much longer pattern.
Does that strike you particularly, that it was the death of Western aid workers that finally seemed to prompt some reaction?
I unfortunately, I can't see any other any other reason for it, because there's been 200 humanitarians killed over the last 6 months. Each and every one of them is a travesty, and it is an absolute injustice. And we need to now move the conversation onto a question of accountability. We've been asking for investigations for the 6 incidents that we've been asking for investigation about, and so far we've heard nothing. So we need to make sure that we shift from this environment of impunity to an environment of accountability.
We heard today as well that Israel is finally going to open the Ezra crossing. I know MSF, along with so many other aid agencies, have been calling for all 5 crossings to be opened for months and months now.
Yeah.
How big a difference will that make, do you think, or how hopeful are you about that move?
Well, we need, as you said, we need all of the border crossings open. I mean, more border crossings open is a good thing. But what I would say is providing aid anywhere, but particularly in the Gaza Strip, is more than just about trucks crossing a border. It is that, yes, but it is so much more. It is about moving supplies around in Gaza. It's about treating patients. That means having staff who are qualified, who have eaten, who are mentally fit to do so. It's about hospitals with more than 4 walls and a roof, but with running water, electricity, communications and fuel. And we've seen a systematic breakdown, targeted breakdown of the civilian infrastructure in Gaza. So yes, more supply in is good. This is not enough, but we shouldn't be distracted by just counting trucks crossing the border to deliver meaningful aid, which, by the way, is what the International Court of Justice demanded back in January the 26th. To do that is much more than just simply crossing trucks crossing a border.
So will aid workers, do you think, be able to or be willing to operate in Gaza at the moment in the days and weeks ahead, given what has happened?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I say, there's been a pattern here for a long time. So we're under no illusion that this is an incredibly dangerous place to work. And we have been, since the onset of this war, we have been on a daily basis reassessing the risks to our teams. We have a very high rotation of staff because it is a very dangerous place to work. We see the acute needs. I mean, you heard what I was describing from the Al-Aqsa hospital. I mean, it's really a drop in the ocean compared to what is needed. So we want to stay, but to be able to say, not only do we need an effective coordination mechanism, but we need to see that there is the political will to change the way this conflict is being fought. First and foremost, for halting this horrendous number of civilian deaths, now up to 33,000, and then to enable humanitarian workers to be able to go around their job, to go about their job safely and not be getting killed in these numbers.
I just want to ask you finally, Christopher, just for clarity on what you're saying there, this pattern that you're saying that we've seen in the killing of aid workers and the coordination method not working. Mm. Do you have any evidence or any belief that there has been deliberate targeting of aid workers?
I think that there's been deliberate targeting of the infrastructure. I think that this has been the deaths of aid workers have been allowed to happen. I think there is an environment of intimidation, and I think it is a deliberate choice to not address this pattern.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us in the programme this evening. That is Christopher Lockyer, who is joining us from MSF.